This is the last place I thought I would be this Sunday evening, standing here. Let me get this out first. I want to try to read with you Psalm 126. I'm hanging on up here. You need to hang up, hang on down there. Do it. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then to Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. To say that last week was a great week is probably one of the greatest understatements I could ever make. The road has been hard. We've been in the young people's work now for several years. And the Lord has blessed us often, but it's been a hard work. And for you parents, I know the road has been tough. I've got children. It's a hard road. The only way to walk that road is in prayer, to keep our children before the throne of grace. As we approach this week, as Mark and Brad and I were speaking, the comment was made often. If we go 550 miles to Ohio and all we do is play games and eat and play and just go through a routine, what a vain thing. We could stay here in Greenville and do that and save an awful lot of trouble and an awful lot of money. It was our prayer, has been the prayer of many in these last weeks, that God would meet with these young folks. And before I go any further on that, I want to give recognition. Before we just look at this one week of camp and say, look what the Lord done in this week, I want to be sure we back up and we recognize the fact that the Lord has moved before last week. There are many of our young people who are going on with God. They don't get to stand up here. They don't get to be acknowledged. But God has done a wondrous work. And from the days that certainly Krista and I have been involved in the work, we have had a faithful few. And we saw that work grow from 3 and 4, 6 and 7. We've had some sweet prayer meetings. We've had some times where the Lord has come in. He's blessed. He's met with us. And as I speak, you folks know who you are. I don't need to name names. The Lord has heard our cries, heard our petitions. We have sought the Lord before last week that God would save some of these young people. The families would be made whole in Christ. We've known what it is to labor before the throne of grace and to be met with by our God and to know that we've been heard. But yet we waited. And I've heard for all these years, and I know in my own life, it's not a vain thing to wait on the Lord. We don't see what we want when we think we ought to see it. But I have learned that that ought not be a deterrent to coming into the Lord's presence and seeking His face. He does hear. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him out of all of his troubles. God hears. I'm a living testimony to that. I know that my parents grieved over me and prayed over me. But the Lord saved my soul. The Lord heard the cries of other parents long ago, and we've seen young people come to Him over the years. But yet, as we have sought the Lord in these past years, as to who we ought to pray for, not should we pray, but who we ought to pray for, there have been many names that have been laid upon the hearts of not only this man, but many of you in this congregation. And as we came to this week, those names did not grow strange to the hearts of God's people. And as we sought to go up to this camp, I've never been into at Camp Peniel in Ohio. I hadn't the foggiest idea where I was going, what I would see when we got there. But we prayed that God would meet us at Camp Peniel. The plans have been many. I have never been to youth camp. It took me 40 years to get to youth camp. I'm glad I went. 40 years. I'm thinking, I'm too old for this. Mark Allison's too old for this. Brad Carper, too old for this. And why are we here? Unless the Lord moves, unless He delivers, it was a vain thing. But the planning took place many hours. We've had many folks involved in this from the very beginning. It's taken a lot of work, and very few of us had had any experience in camp work. A lot of hard work, many meetings. We loaded up last Friday night, a week ago. Had all the campers bring their things over to our house. We had a trailer, loaded it up, went through the grueling thing of being sure that everyone brought their health forms, their gas money, all these mundane items. The question was asked of me, do you know yet who's riding in whose vehicles? I knew that was a dreaded question. 10 hours of travel. We've got the rebels among us, those who are just waiting to have fun from the very moment they step in my driveway. And I cringed at the thought. Who's going to get who? And as they showed up Saturday morning, I could see the gleam in some of their eyes. Who's going to get me? Who's going to get me? From the very beginning, we just knew what it was, the devil as the antagonizer. He was the one who was there from the very beginning. We loaded up. Having prayed, we pulled out and set up the road, and the Lord was gracious to us. We had at least one close call on the way up. God was merciful. How I didn't become part of the center concrete divide up around Cincinnati. It was only the Lord's hand upon me. But He was gracious. And we got into Camp Peniel late Saturday evening. Had a chance to eat. And counselors had the opportunity to get these folks lined up in their cabins. To meet with them. To once again see what they were facing. And then to go to prayer and have a time with these young folks and get to bed. The Lord's Day was hard. You're seeking to enter into rest on the Lord's Day. You're in a strange place. You're now playing babysitter to many of these young people who know nothing of what it is to enter into the Lord's rest on His day, trying to keep it to this low-key atmosphere and an attitude of worship and praise before our God. Kids that have been traveling for 12 hours a day before, just eager to get out and go. It was an effort. Sunday night we had a new batch of kids arise, another rebel, and one in particular among them. And we just shook our heads and thought, it's been a hard day, and just wonder what we're going to be facing. And sure enough, Brad and I stayed up. Won't mention names. Brad and I stayed up late talking, speaking of the Lord and fellowshipping in Him, and we decided to go to bed around 1:45. And I have just slipped into bed, lights out, getting my Z's, and I hear this knock on the front door, and it's Brad. David, we got trouble. So it figured, you know, Brad had gone over to the restroom there. He's getting ready to go to bed, and we've got two of our campers standing in the dark, two of our young men, and only the Lord knows what may have come of that, but in God's grace, one of us showed up and it was dispersed. But we realized then there was all the potential here for the Lord, or for the devil himself, to get entrance into these meetings. We prayed. We got Mark up. He was real happy. And just realized the Lord was going to have to step in and do a work. And we really hadn't begun to see the beginning of what the devil could do if he would be allowed to have entrance into these meetings. But Monday morning, we're up. Our schedule set out as such that we would try to get these campers up around 7 o'clock, get them to the dining hall around 7:45. Then we had workbooks that had been brought to the camp concerning prayer and seeking to instruct these young people on what it is to pray, who can pray, what do we pray for, when do we pray. And as we went through these workbooks Monday morning, I know that there were hearts that were blessed. There were some of God's young people who were learning from the very start about what it was to pray and the fact that it starts off with a relationship with God. He is our Father. Many hearts were blessed. We came together to pray Monday morning at about 9 o'clock. And as we prayed, the Lord met with us. And many of the Lord's young people knew what it was to get before Him in the place of prayer and to break through in that place and have the Lord come and meet. And I knew the Lord was present with us. We were never at any point in time seeking to manipulate these young people in any fashion to try to work up anything. We simply wanted at every point to turn them to Christ. The theme of the week was knowing the Lord. The Lord did meet with us that morning. The day's events proceeded. We had lunch. We had activities in the afternoon. All things went well. And yet you could still sense that for those who were among us, those who were rebels against God and His Christ, there was this attitude, this coldness, this just as it were laying in wait. Just the opportunity to jump in and be the instigator. I was nervous, I'll tell you. I got up there and I was really miserable. And thinking about all the things in my unbelief as to what could happen if this young man or this young woman had their way and God did not see fit to intervene and to prevent, what could happen? Monday afternoon was hard for me. Monday night we had the meeting. I might add, the Lord had given us a token of His grace Sunday evening. Mark Allison spoke at Marvin Gossman's church there, close by the camp. And he spoke in the passage in the Old Testament concerning the half had not been told concerning Solomon and how that related to Christ. And we knew Christ's presence in our midst. And there was one young lady from the Indianapolis Shelbyville area who we believe was saved after that meeting. So the backdrop immediately on Monday when we would consider these things and where the devil would seek to gain entrance was the fact that God had already shown us a token of His grace. And we thank God for that. Monday evening was a preaching service, and Alan Shearer was in to preach. We knew God's presence that Monday evening, knew His help. Many of these young people later confessed the Word of God that spoke to their heart in this Monday night service. These were things we learned after the fact. All appearances were that on Monday night it was just preaching as usual. Monday night, and I can't give you everyone's perspective. I can only speak from what I saw, what the Lord enabled me to be privy to, and how can you in just 15 or 20 or 30 minutes recount a week's worth of blessing? It can't be done. There are some of these young people here, till they go to the grave, they will be recounting the things that God did for them this week. But that Monday night, we went down to the snack shop. That was an ordinary thing after the preaching service, to go to the snack shop. And that Monday night, pretty much business as usual there. I have so many things going through my mind right now. I'm just trying to ask the Lord to keep it right in focus. Monday evening, a snack shop and a hardness in many hearts. And being a parent and being a youth director and it being dark, there was that concern on my behalf, for myself and others, that we be sure that as these young people leave the snack shop, that these young people not part, if possible, in mixed groups, unless there was an eye on them. Great concern there. And I hung around the snack shop, and many of these young people were leaving. And I saw four young people in particular. I wasn't sure, as I noticed the closeness that was developing, exactly what that was centered around, whether it was fleshly and carnal, or if the Lord was doing a work there. But my heart feared. And for this one young girl that was there, I called her back and had her come. And she was not real happy that I called her back, and I wasn't really even sure I could tell her why I called her back. I just felt that it was what I needed to do. I kept her behind, and shortly they left. And it wasn't long after that I made my way back to the cabin where we had the cooks, Bill Grider and Beth, Kathy Smith and Joan Cairns. And I was standing down there, and next thing you know, I've got one of these young men who's come down. He's grieved with me. He's told me that his friend is offended. So I had an opportunity to speak to this young man exactly about my heart, my fear, my concern for what it was for some of these pure girls to be around some of these ungodly young men. It was not an easy conversation. I realized I was speaking to a dead man about spiritual things, pointing him to Christ. And as he confessed later, his testimony was, I wondered why this idiot kept talking to me. And yet, I couldn't let him go. And I proceeded to tell him that everything that he had been satisfied with thus far in his life was at best a cheap counterfeit of what the devil could offer in lieu of Christ. And if he tasted of everything the devil ever offered, he was still a pauper. He would know nothing of what it was to come to Christ and be made a king. A king and a high priest. To know fellowship with your Creator and your Redeemer. And I asked him bluntly, I said, just tell me, why are you here this week? And he simply said, to have fun. To have fun. And as he left, I simply said to him away, I said, let me challenge your heart. Challenge God to reveal His Son to you. To give Him a vision of Himself. And with that, I walked this young man back to his cabin. I got back to my cabin. And my heart was rent. This is one of these young fellows that has been laid upon my heart for years. I just had to cry out before the Lord, how long? Tuesday morning, I know that many of us were heavy of heart, many things that we were all seeing. His counselors would tell you they were having many opportunities to speak to these young people. Circumstances wrought of the Lord. That's all you can say. God raised up the opportunities. As the days pass, I'm sure that there will be many opportunities given for these men to speak. And indeed, those who have met with the Lord to speak concerning how they met with Him. And what the circumstances were. Tuesday was a hard place for me in the place of prayer. I had to separate on one of these occasions. One of our young men and young ladies, it was just one of these things that I could see that from the very beginning that this was an opportunity to for the devil to enter in. The other thing I had these young people do in these prayer meetings was just, let's be sure we have a space between each of you. Let's not give us opportunity to be sitting close together and with contact, elbowing, and so forth. I was grieved to think that we would come that far and that we would do anything in that meeting to quench the Spirit of God and to not meet with the Lord. And that prayer meeting was hard for me. And I came out of that just wondering if the Lord would meet with us again before the week was out. I wondered. I got before the Lord and just beseeched Him and begged Him that He would remember us for good. Tuesday afternoon, things ran their normal course, the activities, eating at 6, meeting at 7 o'clock, Randy Warland. Randy preached. He preached concerning having a vision of Christ. Had you become like Christ? He used the illustration of why his putting stance is so rotten. He watched Arnold Palmer. It wasn't for him, but he said the more he watched Arnold Palmer, the more he became like him, to the point that he could not shake off these habits. And he was trying to use that as an illustration of what it is to be conformed to Christ. Walking with Him, watching Him, giving close attention and inspection to the Lord, searching Him in His Word. And that becoming like Christ is the result of viewing Christ, observing Him, having a vision of Him. It was a good meeting. The meeting closed. The invitation was given. It wasn't, again, a manipulation on man of any part. I was one of the last ones out, and as I came out the back doors, I noticed that Craig Volskons had one of our young men with him. I didn't know what it was regarding. I walked on. I went down to the snack shop again, and as I was in the snack shop, having been there for a few minutes and folks were getting ready to leave. We tried to shut the place down at 10 o'clock at night. Had one of our young girls come to me. She was a guest that came with my daughter, Stacy. She had befriended one of these young men, Aaron Simmons. And as I came through the front part of the snack shop, I had this little girl come and tell me, "Aaron's calling for you. He wants to be saved." I was beyond belief. I had to right there then just come before the Lord. And just plead with Him that He would forgive my unbelief. I walked outside and there was Aaron on the bench, just crying out for the Lord's mercy. The Lord had done a work in his heart. I had the privilege of leading that young man to Christ. What a privilege it was to indeed see the sins of a young man cleansed in the blood of Christ, and a relief to his own heart and his soul. He was a new creature. He knew it and I knew it, and Christy knew it. What a miracle to behold. I see Aaron sitting out there tonight. His eyes are focused up here. He's been singing the Lord's praises today. He's been singing them since Wednesday, Tuesday night, really. The Lord is good. And I wonder then, what does the Lord have in store for us? We don't deserve His mercy. And here's Aaron with me, and we're hugging and crying, wept into the kingdom with him, thinking of the Lord's mercy and His goodness. We walk up the road to the cabin, and we've got some of the counselors assembled out on the front, the cook's on the front porch. My heart was just rejoicing so greatly in the Lord. I think Aaron had hung back. I don't remember exactly, but I walked up to the porch, and I was asked what happened. And I simply said, Aaron Simmons has come to Christ. Well, more shattered hearts and brokenness. I mean, what a breakthrough. The Lord is great. I walked up with Aaron, and I could only think, here it was a night ago. I walked up with this young man to his cabin. I was grieved. And I left him off that night as a dead man, not knowing what the next day held for him. But this night I walked with him back to his cabin. He was a new creature in Christ. Praise be to God. So I walked over to Randy Rollins' cabin. I thought, well, he's got at least one of these rebels over there. I don't know what they're doing now, but I'm going to go encourage Randy's heart, tell him what the Lord has done. I got to Randy's cabin, knocked on the door. He came to the door, and he had a solemn, somber look on his face. I don't know how the Lord was dealing inside. I told him, I need to have a word with you. He could only say, is that right? I said, yes. So Randy disappeared. And I went back down to the cabin at Lakefront. The Lord's people were praying down there, seeking the Lord's face. I tell you, folks, I have never seen prayer in its simplicity and its vitality the way I saw it last week. Here were these men down at the lakeside praying. Jonathan Stevens was being led before the Lord. And there was a cry to heaven. We had the ear of God. Couldn't have been more than 10 or 15 minutes. And I could hear it coming through the woods, and sobbing and a grieving. John Greer got me, and he said, there's another one coming. And I stood up, and here came Aaron and Jonathan. What a sight. On any other occasion, if I'd seen Aaron and Jonathan coming toward me. But I'll tell you, when the Lord steps in and moves, what a glorious sight, even to see those who were dead in sin, be making their way to you. But these men were no longer dead in their sin. Jonathan came and gave me his testimony, and John Greer spoke with him. And what a time of rejoicing and praise before the throne of grace there at the lakefront. And again, these men, when we told them who had come to Christ, what a breaking, what a melting of heart to see our own unbelief and yet the faithfulness of our God and our Savior to save His people from their sin. It wasn't the end of it. We got word back about that time that the Lord was moving in the girls' cabins. And we're coming into the sense, the realization that God has moved. He stepped into our midst. He's done a gracious thing. We don't deserve it. We make our way up to the boys' cabins to see what's going on up there. And we've got in one of the cabins a prayer meeting going on. The Lord has so moved upon the hearts of these young men. They can only pray. They can only come before their God and mine and seek His face. Okay, the cabin floors, I don't want to exalt the emotionalism here, but I'm telling you, we're dealing with melted, broken hearts. And young men who for years knew what it was to live with sin, unconfessed, pouring their hearts out before a holy and a righteous God and pleading for the cleansing of His blood and getting it and knowing it in His presence. And some being made new creatures in His presence as we prayed. David Farr. We've got some rejoicing parents in here today. I don't know what you call me working with these young people, but I'm rejoicing having been affiliated with these young people. God has been merciful. Sammy Lee wasn't really sure what the condition of his heart was. As we came back yesterday, his confession, he thinks he had just gotten so far away from the Lord, so backslidden, that in effect when the Lord healed, it was as if He had delivered him unto salvation again. What a praise. You know, we have prayed that these young people would know what it is to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been gracious. As we met in that cabin and prayed, these young people were just delivered to the throne of grace. They knew what it was to behold Christ in His beauty. They knew what it was to worship Him there in spirit and in truth. As the prayer meeting came to a close, we sent for the books, the hymnals. These young people wanted to sing. Young people who had never known what it was to open their voice and to sing anything of praise to Christ were singing. These young ladies in their cabins, probably not more than a couple of hundred yards away, could hear the singing going up like a heavenly choir. and these young men just singing from their hearts. It blessed my heart to hear them sing. All you could say is the Lord came into our midst and He blew the doors of hearts wide open. I got to see firsthand what it was. When you read the scriptures, it says, the Lord will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I saw the Lord come into our midst and take unto Himself living stones and add them to that temple, of which Christ is the chief cornerstone and head. That night was a precious night. And early Wednesday morning, going into bed and just laying there, so many thoughts, so many years passing by, and thinking of all the talking we've done, all the preaching, and yet the Lord comes in and with one word slays the hearts. The Spirit of God in His presence smiting unbelief, bringing sinners to Christ. What a glorious thing. Wednesday morning, we're in the dining hall, sitting there pondering what the Lord had done. And here we are waiting for breakfast to be served, and they're singing. It starts very low. And these who have come to Christ are over there in the morning singing the praises of God. I couldn't sing. Just thinking upon what the Lord had done, His goodness and His mercy. Here I was dreading the week a day earlier. And now the sorrow and the grief turn to rejoicing and joy. How great is our Savior. Wednesday, the Lord just blew the whole schedule apart. The activities that we had set aside there, He said, stop. We had a time of meeting with these young people. I tell you, I have never been in a prayer meeting as I was that Wednesday morning. As we sought to meet with these young people and they had their quiet time before we met, the Lord having moved into hearts and done this blessed work, I could see it in their faces. I couldn't sit down fast enough. Having read the scriptures and simply offered praise to the Lord for who He is, I sat down to pray. And I missed it. These folks were so quick to get before the throne. Again, just my heart rejoiced. And to hear the praying, not the fact that they were praying, but to hear the contriteness of heart and the brokenness of heart, the confession of sin and the desire to go on with God, the confession of why had they lingered so long and waited. Why had they waited? Remember Aaron that night, Tuesday night, he was just as he was broken. Just kept saying to me, I've heard so many people tell me of the sweetness of Christ and His goodness. Why did I wait so long? Why did I wait? These young people prayed, not that there's anything magic in the time, but almost 2 hours. These young people were going on before the throne, meeting with the Lord. My own heart was greatly encouraged and blessed. From Tuesday night on, it was not the same camp. It was obviously not the same young people. Wednesday morning, because we didn't know exactly how extensive the work of God had been in the midst of these young campers, I did something I've never done before, and that was ask for a show of hands. I wanted to see. We wanted to know who we would need to meet with and try to ground them further, seek to ground them further in assurance of faith. We had 8 folks to raise their hands saying that since they'd come to camp, they'd met with Christ and come to Him for salvation. We had another 10, 12, 13 folks who said that they had come to an assurance of faith in Christ in that night as well. Wednesday evening was a blessed night. A blessed night as we came to worship the Lord. Great blessings He had wrought. Wednesday evening, meeting with the Lord and the preaching, seeing these young men, some of these women for the first time, really enjoying the preaching of Christ. Really having hearts that were kindled by the Spirit of God as we were brought to consider Christ. Wednesday night in the cabins, I understand from these counselors and the brokenness of the heart again, it was again a time that you could only come and praise God, praise the Lord for the work that He had done. Our concern then was that we wouldn't do anything to quench the Spirit of God. We had His presence. We sought to keep emotion under control where we felt that the Lord would have us to step in. We kept pointing these young men and these women to Christ. Christ had blessed. We weren't about to have them walk away from Him and seek to find blessing elsewhere. The preaching was good. The Lord granted messages concerning Christ. Reggie Kimbrough preached Wednesday night and John Greer preached Thursday night. And we must confess the Lord was present with us. Friday morning, again meeting with these young people in the place of prayer. You could see the Lord deepening the work and hear Him deepening in the work of so many of the Lord's people. And as they prayed and as they were burdened and broken for one another, knowing that they had been heard before the throne of God, seeing this close working, this knitting together that God Himself was doing among their hearts. That Friday morning as we walked out, had some of these young people come up and say, "Mr. Stair, can't we next year do it for 2 or 3 weeks? The Lord did a work. And there were many friends in Christ who were brought together. And I thought, only the Lord knows what we face in this country in the days ahead. Only the Lord knows what He's going to be pleased to allow His people to go through and how precious will be the communion of the saints together and the fellowship that they have with Christ. And I looked upon them and I just wonder, what does the Lord have for these young people? As I close, many things, my heart is still heavy. These young people know very little of what it is to walk in Christ. They've known something of the devil's activity. They've been taken from his possession. A strong man has been bound. They're now children of the King. But the devil still is there. We need to be praying that God would keep these young people. And I'm aware that homes are different now. Some homes have been made whole. The last link is in place. And I would encourage you to keep these young people in prayer. If you don't have children of your own by blood, keep these young people in prayer. There are yet many. I desire to see the salvation of all those for whom we prayed. God is gracious. Let us not ever give up any one of these young people for whom we're praying. We desire to see the work go on. My heart is greatly encouraged. The Lord has revealed Himself to us in a way that I never imagined could be shown. God is powerful. And He can take the wickedest, vilest heart and cleanse it in the blood of Christ. And we saw that. It was my privilege to be part of it. I've read of such things, and I know not, as history passes, what this will have meant to the Church of God in Christ. But I offer my thanksgiving and my praise to my Christ and my Redeemer that this was something that He privileged me to look upon and to behold in great awe and splendor, and to know again that I ought to be still because He is God.